This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent the Indian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two road meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Dayton, I say up and running. Caliban say my shovel don't ever give in. 7 years of farming, watch the crops them coming. Today see a humble thing, the lion sleeping. But they ain't for no reason, reason. Only God and I believe in, living. Watch them only passion for a season, season.
Good night, Bahamas. And welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Valentino Brown, a.k.a. Scoochie or Scrooge or Scroogey. Telephone numbers tonight on Guardian Radio are 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259, and you can text us, powered by BTC at 422-GR96. You can follow us up on Facebook, Guardian Radio, or 969 on the FM dial. And I'm your host of the talk show Inside the Inner City that premieres on Guardian Radio every 6:30 to 8 p.m. every Friday, once it's not holiday. I want to thank all listeners from around the world and in the Bahamas for your gratitude for telling me I'm doing such a wonderful job, and I'm happy to hear that. A lot of people are listening. I'm opening a lot of ears and eyes on how we do things in the country. And I'm very appreciative of each and every one of you who tune into Inside the Inner City. And I want you to know that this show is about getting this country on the right track, find the defaults in our country, and find ways to correct it. We cover a lot of topics from the policing, crime. We talk about politics because I have extensive background in politics. I have extensive background in the police system. I have extensive background in everyday life of persons in any city, whether it comes to gangs, poverty, what is the reason for it, how can we solve it, and many other solutions that if you listen to the show over the years, I think the combined shows that we had with all of the community leaders and program directors who have been on the show, I think we can say that we have a lot of solutions for the country. And the problem is that I think we're facing in this country, especially when it comes to implementing and strategizing and have the right set of programs in the country, is I believe that we are overwhelmed with no bills that we pass in the House of Assembly. In other words, what I'm saying to you is this. I feel that the Brave Davis administration and this administration has their hands full because of all the legislation that they are passing. And we might, in those legislation we passed before, over time, over the years, like how we're trying to find ways how we can, let me just read it. Let me give a prime example what I'm talking about. We're seeing where, I got to reach out. government, the Davis administration has yet decided on the way forward with the marijuana instance, marijuana that we're looking at in the country. I had the newspaper just now. I can't remember where it gone. You know, I used to be so busy. All right. Let me see if I can find it. I like to read it. All right. Just out of just now. Man, couldn't go on so quick. But anyway, it has to do with the fact that the Davis administration is looking at the marijuana and see if they're going to take steps to decriminalize it or to make it a recreational use or et cetera. And things like that. You know, second chance and all the legislation we pass over the years. But the problem is that we keep on adding legislation and legislation, but we have still yet to proceed with those legislation that we had many years before, and we keep on adding. So even though this government right now is doing a very, very good job, their hands are full, okay? So it's up to citizens to take lead and provide the best opportunity you can for yourself, your family, and those who you can help. Because, you know, you can't help everyone, but you can motivate everyone by telling them how successful you were, you know, on your journey, and help inspire others to probably follow in your footsteps. But for now, the country is overwhelmed. Our government hands are full. It's up to the citizens now to push forward, you know. On today's topic, we're going to talk about what we talked about a little bit last week. And we're going to start us off, we talked about the invisible stuff. And, you know, when I talk about this stuff, they call it secret deals. Okay, when I talk about this stuff over the course of the year on Guardian Radio, many people would say, you know, this young man don't know what he's talking about. But as you can see, when I speak and I say things, you know, I speak for the people. I'm not afraid to speak. I don't attack nobody. I just find the wrong what that individual is doing at that precise time. And I use my interpretation that God has given me, the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding and bravery that I ask him for. I ask him for riches. I ask the Father for knowledge, wisdom, understanding, and bravery where I don't fear no man. If a man is doing wrong, I would stand up for what's right, regardless of his position as commissioner of police or the prime minister or a guy on the street who control or a gang leader on the street. If I could intervene anywhere that I'm seeing someone doing something wrong that is not appropriate and it's wrong, I would step in. I would speak on it. Not to talk to the person, but on that particular instance, we would have a discussion on it. Yeah. So I always talk about the invisible stuff. Okay. I got a couple of little stuff right down, so I want to say it real quick. I see. I mean, what do you say? I mean, respect. And Constant Richardson. Constant, I see you. Yeah, thanks for tuning in. I want to start off with a little community announcement. BPL is preparing for the hurricane season, and as they go through the communities, they're looking to trim the trees. You know, there are branches that are overhanging the street lights and the street lines. So if you reside in any one of these communities and you're outside and you see like your tree line, like the tree is on the line, please contact BPL before the hurricane season reach, because if you don't, then you can be responsible for your light getting cut off, because, you know, you could see the tree, you know, hanging over on the line, but you are not concerned about it until something drastically happens, like the tree gets blown down or the branch land on the tree, land on the line, and it touches, and then you'll black out. And so if you're in these particular areas or on the street and you see that the tree is overlapping the lines, contact BPL so that they can come and trim the trees, because this could make it more better for you, your community, and your country. And this could delay the fact of there being a blackout, because one of the major issues of blackouts is because the trees makes the line touch. And this in turn blows the, what you call it now, transformer. And then this goes way back to Clifton Pier. So it's up to the citizens now to go outside, look at the trees. If you feel that it needs to get trimmed, please contact BPL. And I would like to say this to BPL: even though you guys are doing a wonderful, outstanding job of trimming the trees and cutting the trees, as I passed you, when you cut these trees and you cut these limbs and these branches off these trees, you just take them and put them on the side of the road. And I'm looking to see if you guys are going to remove them, because PPL should be able, as a major company, we are the taxpayers. So I'm seeing them cut the trees, but I'm not seeing them remove the debris. So when they're cutting the trees, and they're trimming the trees, I'm seeing where they just take the branches and put it on the side of the road, on the side of people's yard. And that's a no-no for a sophisticated country in the 21st century. Once those trees are cut, there should be a removal truck, a removal team, to make sure that they clean up the trash that they put there. You know, it's no one's fault. The trees are naturally grown, but they're overgrown. But as a major electric company, it's your job to maintain and remove. So you just can't maintain and then you leave the branches and tree on the side of the road. And they rot in there, and then it makes the area filthy, even though you're doing a good job, PPN. So I'm saying this to management out there, if you're listening. You're doing a wonderful job of trimming the trees and preparing for the hurricane season, but you're also leaving the debris, the limbs and the branches that you cut down off these trees are on the side of the road and on people's property. And I think that's a no-no, because we want a clean, clean Bahamas, like Concordillo says, a clean, prestigious Bahamas. Okay? I see my sister. What's up, sis? What's up? All right. She's all the way in Florida. Okay. I just want to say that. Now, I've been saying this all along, that if we look at the leadership in this country and the position held by high officials in the country, I'm talking with Commonwealth Police, I'm talking with Commissioner Police, I'm talking with Prison Superintendent, I'm talking to Director of Immigration, and et cetera. Basically, I've been saying over the years, I've been doing my studies, I've had extensive experience working with late great Sir Lyndon Penland. I've worked with former Prime Minister, the Honorable Perry Christie. I've worked with Tommy Tankress in the Free National Movement. I've been working on the Hubert Ingram line, a few stuff going, a lot of meetings. I've been to thousands of government meetings across the board. I've met different permanent secretaries in different departments. I've met different officials. And I get a good understanding on how government runs. And I've been putting together my own assumption based on their information they gave to me. So I'm just opening the eyes of the Bahamian people to let the Bahamian people know that, yeah, this young man here might not have been to college or been to whatever it is, or have a degree, a bachelor's degree or whatever, but I do have these things. You know, I have these things that was given to me by common sense, by asking for knowledge, wisdom, and understanding and bravery. The bravery part comes in place for me. Is that most people would talk behind people's back. And when they see them in person, they are coward and they start to, oh, it's good to see you. Now, you're saying all kind of bad things with the person, you know. Let me give you a prime example. I can remember one time there was a bunch of young men. We were supposed to meet Mr. Christie. This was Mr. Christie's prime minister. And they said, boy, Mr. Christie, you know, he kind of do us a little bad. You know, when we see him, we could say this and say that, right? So I only saying, yeah. But y'all don't know how it is to be in the presence of great leaders, because I've been in the presence of great leaders, and I could feel the jittery. And, you know, when I met Sir Lyndon, you know, I was jittering, you know. I couldn't even speak, you know, and just after a while, after I met a lot of different leaders, I start to get out of jitters. But even today, I meet certain people around the country who are obliquely very rich or very powerful person in the country. And when I meet them, you know, I still have a little jittery. But I'm not afraid to speak my mind when it comes to concerning the Bahamian people. And if I could help any way I can, I would do that. Okay? Yeah. So, you know, they say to me, they would say, well, when they meet Mr. Christie. Now, when we go to this meeting and they see Mr. Christie, it's a complete U-turn, all right? But me, I always speak my mind. All right? So that's what I'm talking about. You know, I'm not afraid to speak my mind. I don't care who I'm in the presence of, but I'm always respectful no matter who I'm talking to or what I'm talking about. I'm always respectful. I always respect the individual, and that's why I'm respected myself. I see James Dowell watching. Omoko, I see Omoko, all the way in Harbor Island. So let me get to the topic. And what I was talking about, last week we talked about, you know, the commissioner of police, the outgoing commissioner of police, he's done gone, Paul Roll. And over the course of his tenure as the commissioner of police, you know, I was reading between the lines and I was seeing like these positions were being appointed by whoever is the government of the country. And the only reason they serve after general election is because they're still under contract. And you wonder why after they do like 3 years under the previous administration and then you go into the general election, you would see them hang around for about a year or 2 years and then you would see they get a different position. You would hear the Minister of National Security come and say, no, this is not a political move. This is a move that the force wants to take in the right direction to make sure the force is structured properly. And this is not a political decision. And the Commissioner of Police or Assistant Commissioner of Police or Deputy Commissioner of Police is not appointed by the government of the day. And we have heard numerous ministers of national security and even some prime ministers state this. But if you look at their tenure, you would see that a commissioner comes under their tenure. And what that means is that every political party, whether it's the PLP or FNM, in order for you to remain relevant and to remain a strong party, you need the top position covered by people who are part of your party. And it's not by merit, it's you being a party member. You know, and basically what we're seeing now with the Royal Bombers Police Force and immigration and et cetera, it's split up between PLP and FNM officials who are part of both political parties. Then we have persons who are not a part of the political party, and some of them are denied the opportunity to perform at their highest level because they are victimized because they're not a part of political order. So they're overlooked. And then persons who are overlooked are sometimes the person who we need in this country, who is honest and who has the best interest and heart for the country, and who probably would do an awesome job, but they are overlooked because I have my man who is a PLP senior corp, and I have my man who's a senior FNM corp. This was displayed over the course of the last 27 years in the country with Marvin Dims and former Minister of National Security, the Honorable Marvin Dims, and then former Commissioner of Police, Edison Green Slade, who is now an ambassador, and he's still serving as ambassador on this administration. He was serving under the Free National Movement as the Commissioner of Police. Then he was appointed to ambassador. And in the line, you could have saw where there was a political move, you know, and that's what I'm talking about. And it has cost us dearly in the country, okay? So we have your former Minister of Environment in the Nassau Guardian, and he is a legend that he lost $4.16 million in losses. And this is in the Nassau Guardian. This was Thursday, July 14, 2022. I see you, Moxie. Frederick Moxie. I see you, my Lewis Street boy. All of us are doing very well, you know. Frederick Moxie, you know, he is a nice pastor down there in Nassau Village and doing an extremely great job down in the Nassau Village area. And Mr. Moxie, I'm going to invite you on the show every time to talk about your experience and what you're doing in Nassau Village in a short order, probably sometime, I'd say, next month. Yeah. And before I get to Dorset, show you that the system is manipulated and the taxpayers are paying for it, okay? So Paul Roll probably said, before he used to move in office, there were talks that he said that he was not going nowhere because, you know, it's a new day with the PLP administration, Brave Davis administration, and he was appointed under the Free National Movement. So in between the lines, you could see like he was wondering what was going to happen. But then he got some assurance from somebody down the line, probably in the Progressive Liberal Party, that, you know, he would not be going nowhere soon. And he came out, Paul Rhodes, he came out and he stated this. He stated that, you know, don't worry about the nursing market. I'm going to be commissioner, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, that was the guarantee. But we see a few months later, he now is not the commissioner of police. So it tells you the political manipulation within the government system and this how things run. Even though Paul Rhodes was saying one thing, he was lying to the general public, and they were lying to the general public. The former Minister of National Security, Marwan Diem, he was lying to the general public because he stated it was not a political move to appoint Paul Rhodes and D.D. Moat, Clayton, now Commissioner Clayton Fernando, and put him on leave. Okay? And they do that in order to have the top cop as their personal guinea pig charge, who they allowed the commissioner charge. But for me and you, a citizen who live on the streets, the commissioner is going to give us the full extent of the law, and we're going to be persecuted by the full extent of the courts. But for certain persons, it's not like that. When they investigate it, and if there's a crime against them or investigation going on to them, when these files are passed or district superintendents who are in charge of different districts in the country, and they're given this, this is taken to the commissioner, and the commissioner, I believe, takes this to the prime minister. Because if you listen to former prime minister, the Honorable Menace, he stated that in his interview with Eyewitness News that he meets the commissioner every Thursday. In fact, every prime minister before him meets the commissioner every Thursday and get briefing. And then he also stated that, you know, he himself cannot give information out to his cabinet ministers because what him, the commissioner of police, is discussed is private between the head of the armed forces and the head of the Bahamas. And he said that even his members who are part of him, that means the Minister of National Security, who's his second man, or the Deputy Prime Minister, the Deputy Prime Minister's second man, the Minister of National Security, like the third or fourth man, they don't even know what's discussed between the Commissioner of Police and Prime Minister. And he said, these things are confidential. Okay? So we have a force that is split up between senior police officials on the FNM side and on the PLB side. What it is for me and you, these are appointees, like removing and putting out a commissioner of police or deputy commissioner on police. This is devastating to us. And the secrecy behind it is crazy. You say 357, when and none, you should be like, guys, Roberto. And it's devastating to us because it's taxpayers. Could you imagine Clayton Fernando has settled a lawsuit, so it isn't going to court now. And then there's a secrecy to his settlement. And this was done under the Free National Movement, where he filed his grievance against the government and I think the Attorney General Office and the Commission of Police. And then they lost the election, and he was able to reach a settlement agreement with this government. And I believe that he's a part of this government. I believe that he's a senior corp of the Royal Bahamas Police Force, but he probably is a member of the party, just like probably Paul Rhodes was a member of the Free National Movement. And this has been going on for the last 20 years in the country, or even longer. Okay? So, what this does is that when Fernando, Clayton Fernando, was put on leave, and him and many other senior cops, they was getting paid their salary, right? Why they was on vacation. Now, they filed a complaint against the government. The government settled an agreement outside of court, and it's held to secrecy. You know what this does to me and you? This puts screens on us. Because with so much political interference in appointing this commissioner every 5-6 years, or this one getting appointed and getting put on leave because it's a problem with the person who is in charge of the armed forces has a problem with the government, or the day has a problem with them, and they remove them and put them on leave. But they're still paying them. Okay? That's a crazy part. So he's getting paid on leave, and plus now he has selling an agreement. It's undisclosed. So we're looking anywhere in the millions. The Free National Movement government put many poisons, Ken Dorsett, before the court, and he's filing now for $4.16 million in losses. And this proves that what I was saying was true. So let me read his words out of the Nassau Guardian. I need my glasses, honestly, when I get some money. Former minister Kendrick Dorsett, he said that the police were acting on direct instruction from the political directorate when they arrested him in 2017. Former Minister of Environment and Housing, Kendrick Dorsett, who was brought on corruption charges and whose case was discontinued early this year. The discontinued early this year means that this administration has come to a settlement agreement with him. Instead of extending it, they have come to a settlement agreement with him. All this is the taxpayers. We put him before the court. Now, we spend but probably $500,000 or $800,000 using the Bahamian people taxpayers to try find a conviction on Kendrick Dorsett. And we're here now where he is saying out of his own mouth that he feels and alleges. Remember, I said it many times, but he is a part of the party. He is in government. So if he is saying it, and if I'm here on Guardian Radio, but then he verifies this here in the Nassau Guardian that what I was saying, like the invisible stuff, and now they call it secrecy, he is coming out and spelling it now. And he is saying that he feels, and remember now, Bahamian people, he was a sitting minister, and he is a legislator. He's a former legislator. Now his party is in power. And if he is telling you this, then this is something that he knows personally what was going on at that particular time. So this is what I'm talking about when you ask God for knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, and bravery to come with you, put this together, and have a nice dialogue on it so that it can open up the Bahamian people's ears to let them know, PLP and FNM, this is what happened to us when we pulled for party. There's nothing wrong with pulling for a party, but you can't give it your all. I feel that once a general election is over, it's all governance for all people in the country. I feel that when you reach your 4-year tenure as the government, that should be enough. If the good works you have done in the first 4 years, that should be enough to carry you through. I don't think we're supposed to be discussing PLP and FNM in the 4 years. We're supposed to find ways on how we can empower people, how we can build houses for people, how we can bring down the water out of tax, how we can increase the how we can increase the minimum wage, how we're going to be able to put solar on houses, how we're going to be able to feed ourselves, you know, how we're going to find ways and how we're going to get unemployment down to probably 15 to 20% in the country. And these are the major issues that should be in the forefront. Okay? So we're here, put Mr. Dorsett before the court. That's the Free National Movement government, right? Now he sues the government. Okay? Now he gets a settlement agreement. Now, if he is saying that $4.16 million in losses because of the criminal cases that were put before him under former administration, now he's looking for retribution. So he's using this $4.16 million in losses to say that, hey, I'm looking for compensation for the $4.16 million in losses. And if he was able to reach the settlement agreement with the government of the Bahamas, because this government now, the Progressive Labor Party, under the tutelage of Brave Davis, has paneled millions in settlement. And I'd just like to know, let the general public know that if you listen, many of these are outstanding court fees and fines that are being awarded to many of the MPs and many persons like Leslie Miller, who received, I think, a $9.7 million settlement agreement coming out of the Treasury, which means you, PLP and FNM and those who are not politically involved in none of these parties, we paying that. Okay? So we lose because we put him before the court. It was a good thing that the government put him before the court to try and have a guideline for politicians not to go into politics to receive riches, you know, but to help build a better nation and to stop the corruption. So Woodman has started out of something good, but Mr. Dorsett still was protected by his party. Mr. Dorsett still was protected by the oath he took when he used to sit in MP, and that's the second oath he takes after he swears to the Queen. That protects him. And I think it's very hard for us to get a conviction on a member of parliament based on the Second Amendment of the Constitution, because it says that anything discussed in parliament is secret. And they swear to this. So that means whether you do something bad or good, as long as you sit in government, that is secret. And that is law. That is above the police. So that's why you see Paul Rule or Clayton Fernando cannot interfere, because it's way above them. The politicians are above them, okay? Because the politicians are the lawmakers, and the police carry out the law, all right? So we lose. So if you look at this 4.16 in losses, and if he were to get a settlement, he can look and be anywhere from 5 to 6 million. That's a loss for us. Yeah, that's a loss for us who is PLP and FNM. Us citizens. Right? That coming to the Treasury. Paul Rowell getting appointed as commissioner. Now he demoted office. We're paying for that too. Clayton Fernando, his fines. And a settlement, we're paying for that too. We're paying for Leslie Miller. And we could go on and on. This government seems to be paying out a lot of settlements. And this is coming with the taxpayers' money. Okay? I just want everyone who is listening, this is how things run in the country. If we don't know that. So we could be pulling for the PLP and pulling for the FNM. But right now, we, as the Bahamian people and the citizen and electorate, the people who vote in election time, we are the ones who are going to pay all of the misfaults of that previous administration, this administration, and this previous administration, and whatever payment this administration is going to pay out to all of those lawsuits, settlements, we, the Bahamian people, are going to pay them. I just want you to know and see how devastating this is to us. And if we are saying it's not a political affiliation, we are completely wrong, because we are seeing it. And Dorsett is saying it. So let me just go back with Ken Dorsett. And he's saying, he is saying that the instruction from the political directorate when they arrested him. So what are you saying in 2017? This is Kendrick Dorsett. He is stating that he believes it came from the top. Who was the top? Former Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, the Honorable Hubert Alexander Leader, Hubert Alexander, menace, former leader of the Free National Movement. Now it's just a member of parliament for Kalani. So he's saying that it came from him. But when we listen to our leaders, they say to us that they had nothing to do with putting no one before the court. He said, let the police investigate, and if there is the investigation done properly, then the police will do their job. And we have heard the minister, former minister of national security said this, and the former prime minister of the country said this. And I would just like to ask this government, with all the settlement payment over the court, Dorset got one, Leslie Miller got one, many others got their settlement. Could this government tell us exactly how much money the Bahamian taxpayers are going to pay former Commissioner of Police Clayton Fernando this week, former Minister of Environment Ken Dorset, former Minister Leslie Miller, and the BPL staff also a settlement agreement over the court. So we want to know from the government, with all the settlements that are being awarded out of court, and many of the cases were under the former Free National Movement. What is actually, we as the Bahamian people are looking at as a settlement estimate between all of the settlements now that are remain secretive, and what's the numbers? And that's the question we need to ask. What's the number of paying civil servant or essential workers all of their settlements, secret settlements in the country? And you Bahamian people would be surprised how much money we're going to pay all of these individuals, coming down from the Commissioner of Police, the former Minister Ken Dorset, the Leslie Miller, the BPL staff who, you know, were let go under the former Free National Movement administration. All these court cases that the former administration put, the former MPs, Shane Gibson, you know, with Frank Smith, you know, all these guys, them are going to win their settlement, okay? So we want to know what is the estimate price tag on all of these settlement. And I guarantee you, Bahamian people, PLP and FNM, and me and you who are not inclined to the party, hey, we would cry. Okay, I see the phone lines lighting up. So let me see if I get one or two calls. Sorry, I messed up just now. Let me see if I get one or two calls in. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside in the City.
Yes, good evening, sir.
Good evening to you.
You know how Minister Wayne Monroe, right?
Hey.
He spoke about how it was important not to disclose the amount of these agreements.
Yes, sir.
You know, but years ago his views were different.
Yes.
You know, he was an advocate, you know, for transparency.
Of course.
Right? And now that he's a part of the government, you know, his views have changed.
Yes. And
did you hear that or read that article?
I'm glad you bring it up because I was getting it at just now. So go ahead, and I'm going to let you finish, and then I'm going
to continue.
Well,
I just wanted to know if you
yes.
had some view on that.
Yes.
You know? Did you, you was aware of it?
Yes,
you know,
I was very aware of it. If you look back, it was about 3-4 years. He said that the secrecy, yeah. is not right, and that we need to. I got it, Rachel. But anyway, I think I could remember. And he said that he says that it would cause problems if we do not expose it. We will not know exactly what they're settling, and it'll be a problem. He was against that. He wanted it to be made public, right?
Right.
He wanted it made public. Now that he is the government, that's the difference when you're in opposition. You're speaking to get the people on your side. Now that you're government, he is saying that, you know, it's for protection, because of the money involved, and that, you know, this could make the commissioner or deputy commissioner a target, you know. So yes, he twisted his words, and we should not fall for these things. They in opposition, they need to say these things to get the people on their side and to get the votes. Now, when they get in, they are government. See, opposition and government are different. You're correct, my brother. You're correct.
And you know the media should hold them accountable. They should not let him get away with it.
Yes.
In other words, anytime he should not be allowed to say anything to address any other issue unless he addressed it.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Address that issue.
Yes, you're correct. You're correct. You're correct. And see, it's up to you as a citizen and me as a citizen to see these invisible stuff, but actually, it's actually reality. You know, he said one thing a few years ago when he was opposition. He spoke about against the secrecy and the settlement that many people were getting, and he said that this is the problem, and the general public needs to be aware, you know. And now that he is government, he is saying, you know, going to completely do a U-turn.
You know, this is how you know the large corporations and the people with the private profit, they use the media, they use the talk show host,
mm-hmm.
you know, to control to suit their interests.
Yes, sir.
You know, but in the Bahamas, like, they don't have to do much of that because it seems like all the media personnel are on the side of the corporations and not the public good, you know. So therefore, I commend you for being one of those who are not. You know, you and Aaron Green mm-hmm. and the other guys that come on Saturday.
Yes.
You know, they are not
afraid.
Right. Saturday morning.
Yes.
Right, man? I appreciate you the most, man. Just keep it real, you know.
Yeah, man.
Because, you know, everybody can be on that wide road. Somebody got to be on that narrow road that you are on.
Yes, sir.
You see, and there are going to be people, you see those same people in the inner city who recognize you and they say to you, man, I hear you representing, and you know what I'm saying? They appreciate you. They need you.
Yes, sir.
You're the voice, bro.
Yes,
and ain't nobody can do nothing to you, you know.
I believe so.
They can come to you and try to buy you out, you know.
Can't wait.
They coming, bro.
Can't wait.
They, you know, they try that with me and all.
Yeah.
And I'm just a caller.
Yeah.
You know, but they're going to try it, bro.
Yes, sir.
But anyway, man.
Thank you very much.
Firm, bro. You know, yeah. No wonder, man. You know, they believe that people that... The guys in the prison don't read, you know, or can't read.
Yes, sir.
And all they have is time to read. And,
yes, sir.
And they can understand anything given the time they have to read. So don't believe it that you could pull things. You could just say something and they can believe that just like that.
Yes, sir.
You see? But anyway, thank you much, man. Again.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate the word of advice. And I want to say to everyone out there, I cannot be bought. You know, many people approach me. You know, I rather starve and be broke. Down to betray myself and what I stand for and betray my country for a couple of dollars. I've always been this way, and I'm going to continue to be this way, you know. And let me just say this to the general public. My biggest supporter who are assisting me now, a family, a husband and wife, and they are the biggest free national movement, and they support me. And guess what? They respect me for my differential than everyone else. They say, you are concerned about your country. We see that you are not in the PLP, you're not in the FNM. You just want things to change for your country, and that's why we support you. And I say the biggest supporters of the Free National Movement, husband and wife, and they support me. They assist me little by little to help develop my community that I reside in. And they respect me because they say, you know, they're helping me because they see that I mean well for my country. I'm fighting for my country. And that's why they support. And they just say that. And they have never, ever approached me to talk to me about their party. You know, all they want to do is say, don't never, ever approach us talking about party affiliation. We just want you to go out there, do what you're doing. Me and my wife is going to support you the best we can. And fuck, let me just say it. Brent Simonette, him and his wife, Robin, they have been assisting me for many, many years. They're not giving me no big money. No, they're doing little small stuff. Small stuff, but it's helping. But they are my biggest supporters. And they are the biggest Free National Movement members. And yet still, they're here supporting me. I'm on this radio talking with you, talking with the Free National Movement. But they have never, ever once approached me or said to me something about what I say or whatever. In fact, they encourage me because in their hearts, they see that I mean well for my country. And I'm a patriot for my country, and I cannot be bought. And I only get to know them over the years because as I start to meet people, I start to meet different people. And then they just wanted to assist me the best way they can and how they could help me better my life. And they asked me how they could help me personally. They say, no, I'm better in a restaurant. If you guys could help me out, help me clean up the area, help me do some programs in the area, that'd be all good. You know, and they add some of that stuff on. And I'm still struggling. I'm still working with them. You know, because I'm not looking at these people and saying they're rich people. And no, I don't look at it like that. They don't have to give me nothing. They're entitled to do nothing for me or nobody in this country. It's just the fact that God put you in the direction of people you meet. And there's some wonderful people that I've met over the years. And they support me. And I hope I'm getting stronger, you know. So I just wanted to say that. We can take this next call. Sorry, caller. Go ahead. You still there, caller? They left? I guess they left. So that's when you're making a difference. And I have many other people support the many different programs in the community. I don't have one program in my name. All programs are in different names. And the funds go directly to whatever program that is. I receive checks for $35,000. We just receive $1 million that a day. All that goes to the program and go help the community. That's what type of person I am. No? That's what type of person I am. So I want to give a shout out to Robin Simonet and Brent Simonet, you know, and I hope that I continue to inspire them and they continue to assist us down in the Grantstown community and many other projects they're helping around the country. Yeah, and I say that. I had to say that because they have been supporting and never ever approached me. Never ever. They just loved what I'm doing, how I'm helping my country and my community. And they love the way how I express myself on Guardian Radio. And it said it touches their heart to see that, you know, there's so many truth in what I see. And if we were to listen and apply some of these, we'd have a better country. Yeah, 357 went and on. Okay. Yeah, I just want to say that. So we all lose. We all lose with this Dorset settlement, 4.16. And, yeah, let me see where he is now. Okay, and then the caller just talked about Vane Monroe. Yes, he was, when he was in opposition, he spoke out against settlements, and he said that it needs to be known to the public. It not needs to be held in secrecy, you know. It needs to be known in the public about the settlements that the government was doing and not letting the general public know. And he said that in opposition, now he's in government. But that's the thing I want the Bahamian people to understand. Opposition is to get the people on your side. So what Michael Pintard is doing now, he is trying to get the people on his side and to try and see if he could topple and gain traction for the upcoming general election, which is like four years away. And that's what the opposition does. You know, and they'd say some good stuff in an opposition, but when they get government, it's different. We also could remember that Vane Monroe, he was talking about, you know, about the Crown Land in opposition too. And you see that when he became government, he says that no one would be allowed to tamper with government property. Because what me and you needs to understand is that when we elect the government of the day, whether it's PLP and Free National Movement, they are the Bahamian people. We are the citizens. But when we elect the prime minister, the deputy prime minister, and the minister of national security, hey, they are the Bahamian people. The government is the Bahamian people. They do our works. So when we're saying this are natural resources and this a that, no, it belongs to the government. The government of the Bahamas. Yes. And who owns the government of the Bahamas? Queen Elizabeth and Britain. Okay. All right. Let me see where we're going now. All right. Let me see if I can start now. Okay. Yeah. And, you know, I'm always speaking on behalf of the Bahamian people. But there was something very interesting with this Dorset allegation. In there, he also talk about his time, you know, being locked up in the Central Police Station. And he talked about the cell pissy right up, about the mosquitoes in the cell, you know, that he was not able to use the bathroom in a timely fashion in the Central and by the Bahamas Correctional Institute, which we formerly known as Fox Hill Prison. So now he had a taste of the medicine. Are we going to take his complaint serious? What he needs to do now is, Ken Dorset, you have felt what thousands and thousands of Bahamians have been going through over the years at the cost of the hands of our police officers and our police station, which I feel right now, many of these stations only have a man and a woman bathroom. Some of these stations only have one bathroom for suspects who are held in custody. And I think in the 21st century, that is unacceptable. Because we have a former minister, Mr. Dorset, he expressed his experience and he had it in the newspaper. And he talked about his position being held, you know, in the Central Police Station. And he said, in there are mosquitoes, there are piss all over the ground, and that he couldn't sleep. And then he also couldn't use the bathroom on time. That means the officers didn't come and do their rounds on time. And Mr. Dorset, my advice to you is take this experience, because this happened for a reason. You are the one who could speak out for the conditions of persons who are being held in prison and in Central Police Station about these conditions. These conditions in our prisons and stations need to be addressed, because if we're looking to change around this country from violent crime, then we need to have the facilities that can be able to handle persons when they come to check into the station. You know, they should be able to use the bathroom in a timely fashion, as long as they're not disrespectful, they're not cursing, they're not carrying on. It still comes down to the individual or the suspect or the criminal coming on to have respect for the police officers too, because we have a lot of prisoners and poison cells in custody who are very disrespectful to the police officers. They curse and they carry on. And for that reason, the officers would not come and do his rounds and carry to the bathroom. But it still is the officer's duty that when you're in custody, that you get a phone call, that the cell is properly cleaned because hygiene, okay? And to make sure that the prisoner or suspect is treated fairly once he is in the hands of the Royal Bahamas Police Force. So, Mr. Dorset, you complain about the cell's pissy. You complain about the mosquitoes in the cell. But these things have been going on for over 50, 60 years in the Bahamas, and it's not changed. We need people like yourself who have this experience to not just put it in those people, but continue to talk about the suffering that many people are going through right now as we speak. So we're going to take this next call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside In the City.
Good afternoon, Stu Jager, man.
I'm fine. Good afternoon to you, too.
You stay strong, doing a good job, man.
Oh, thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Hey, Stuji, the Prime Minister, David, he said that he's going to basically see what they can do about the decriminalization and the legalization and of medicinal and recreational marijuana.
Yes,
right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So, I mean, like, it's a continuation, but I mean, like, I understand because Mr. Davis looks like he's really doing a good job.
Yeah, you're trying his best.
Right? But what I'm saying is that, I mean, it's been going on, like, over 5 years now. That before that and all, I'm talking about really when this whole thing started, but basically like the talk of legalization of marijuana, right?
Yes, sir.
And the previous administration had their hands bouncing it around year after year. They promised there'd be a, and like we're gonna have it in 6 months, and then we gotta wait till the end of the year. And it's almost the same thing happened, but I doubt it's going to be the same thing. But then, it's like, so they're going to expunge the records. The Prime Minister said that they're going to expunge the records for persons who smoke, probably small quantities and all of that, right?
Yes, sir.
And even with like persons who are violated the
COVID-19 protocol.
Orders, right? Yeah, but I mean, like, okay, so that the Prime Minister said it's going to be like, it's definitely going to be medicinal marijuana. And
recreational.
It's going to look at recreational, right? Or it's going to be recreational.
Or medical.
But medicinal is medical.
Yeah.
But you know, my irony is, because I mean, like, I remember one time I was doing research on this marijuana, right?
Yes, sir.
And it's like 1926, I think it was.
Yes, sir.
When it was maybe illegal or something like that. Right?
Yes, sir.
Before that, even the period, like, when it was illegal, there are places where they used to go. They call them speakeasy parlors, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where a person can go and they can smoke in peace and all that, and they basically will be, you know, like, how are the Prime Minister talking about, well, in 6 months, basically, they're going to do that. Why the Prime Minister don't have a speakeasy period so persons who do it, they can have, like, look at this country as a benchmark to determine from, you know, our jurisdiction, how this thing is going to work. Because they've been all around the world about it. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
To find out what happened in Jamaica, what happened in Canada, what happened all around the world, right?
Yes, yes.
So, I mean, if they're going to do it, it's going to happen anyhow. So, I mean, and the records are going to be expunged, right? So, I mean, like, and that don't sound like it makes sense. So, like, 6 months, that's the end of the year anyhow. So the Prime Minister, like, seeing the expunging records, the Prime Minister had the authority to basically, like the say, well, more like, I want to say, stand down 100% for like, persons who are doing, like, the heavy stuff, right? But I mean, like, to soften it so that people can melt more into it when the end of the year comes. So they'll have a better appreciation of it. Because, I mean, it's almost like buying numbers. I mean, like, when you go around the store and things like that, you'd be surprised to know who's smoking, man.
Man, that, listen, I think right now about 80% of the population is smoking.
You know, and I mean, it ain't like it's a bad thing. Because, I mean, over this COVID period and things like that, man, thank God for the smoke. Because, I mean, I think that's the cause many people not to get COVID, cough of all the mucus and they get something. Touch me, huh?
That's don't it, laugh, that's man. I didn't get you to get off, man. Come on.
No, because that's a long expectorant.
Yeah.
What that does is make a productive cough. Notice when people have the flu or have, like, I guess the cold or whatever, or they got some on their chest, and they're trying to cough that up. You can't cough that up under the natural, man.
Yes, yeah.
That'll right. Make you weak. You need something to put, like, it's almost like having ties without traction when you're coughing like that.
Yes.
But if you introduce, like, the long expectorant called hemp, or not hemp, but marijuana, right?
Yes, sir.
That gives the bite where you can cough up and spit that out and you could be healthy.
Yeah.
You know?
Makes sense.
Because it's good for bronchial asthma and all of that, too. So, I think that's it's good for that. It's good for phlegm or cold.
Inflammatory, yeah.
And all that.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But we got to look at the natural means because, I mean, like, we buy a lot of stuff. I ain't just talking about no marijuana. I'm talking about in general. We're talking about all these medicinal plants we have around this country.
Yeah.
Be more like take it and chop it down, but end up someone say it bad, we just destroy it. You don't take our time to research and find out what it is.
We lose our way.
Yeah, man, and when you really go check it out and think, man, they're the right things you're really supposed to be putting in the body, man,
because
our bodies are dying for, I'm talking about stuff that's full of cholesterol, I'm talking not cholesterol, but for the mom. I'm talking about the green stuff in plants. Chlorophyll.
Yeah, in Genesis, God tell you about the grains.
Man.
You know, he tells us about the grain. The grain is what keep us healthy and strong.
Hey, another thing. I listen to what happened with Kendrick Dawson, right? But I mean, like, when he said that he's making like X amount of millions a year, but the country is set down COVID and that 2 years. I mean, they didn't take that into consideration with the court orders. They just look at a dead year and do that. I mean, I just saying because you know he's making no money.
Yeah, well, you know it's a law practice, so you know these guys, they get their game. You know,
Their game. Yeah. But anyhow, like I say, man, it's good you keep up the good work, man. And you keep in between all of the good and the evil, man. Because many evil in this time perpetrating good, you know.
Yes, sir.
I agree. We see it, you know, we finding it out now, you see? That's the invisible stuff I'm talking about now.
Man, you'd be surprised to know.
Yeah.
Them coats on the coats are off. I think all you see is evil, man.
Yes, you see
and
it.
And you got to even take them off.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, that's what life is. You know, we look at some people, we just look at them for what we see. We judge them and say, well, that's the bad one there.
Yes.
That one there, I don't trust that one. And then you really look around, the one with the smile on his face and look like he's just supposed to be in the place. That's the one who's robbing you, man.
Yes, sir. And we are seeing it.
Huh?
We are seeing it.
You got yourself down polished.
Yes.
Yeah, but like I say, you keep up the good work, man.
Thank you very much. And I appreciate your calling.
Yeah, man.
Yes. And good comments, okay?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah. I want to thank all the callers. You know, I just try doing my part. And like I say, you know, there's a lot of smoke screen going on in this country. Our leader saying one thing with them out. And then
if you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try again. If you need help, hang up and then dial your operator.
Yeah. Sorry about that. And they say one thing and during, you know, the next. And that is lying to the general public. And I'm going to say it. It's lying. Could you imagine me going to Supreme Court right now, swear oath of allegiance, swear to tell the truth, right? And then I'm lying. What happens to me? All right? But like the caller said, our leaders could actually lie, right? Then we find out they're lying. But, nothing happens. So how was me as a citizen found out that you were not telling the truth, but yet still the courts tell you, you know, when you take this Bible and you put you on it, you swear to tell the truth. So we are people going to court, lying on the oath, okay? And that's acceptable. We are politicians lying to the general public on... It's acceptable. We are politicians breaking the law and supported by the party members and party leaders. So someone could please tell me in this country what is right and what is wrong. Okay? Someone please tell me what is right and what is wrong. What is right for me to do in this country and what is wrong for me to do this country. Okay? Because right now, like the caller previously stated, you know, there's a lot of evil and wickedness going on in this country. And that's why we see the Bahamas is small. We have a lot of legislation, but the Bahamas is big with so many different problems coming up every day in our country. And it's because we have lost our integrity. We have lost our honesty. We become greedy, independent, selfish. And don't like nobody but ourselves. And this is going to be our downfall in this country. All right. The producer stepped out for a minute. He'll be right back, caller. And I think we have a few more minutes on the show. So I hope he could get back in time so he could let you get... a few minutes. So, yeah. Bombers. So I just tried doing my best to come on the radio and to open you guys' eyes and show you the price we pay for being a PLP and being an FNM. Like I tell you, there's nothing wrong with supporting a party, okay? But we have to say to ourselves, look at where your taxpaying money is being spent, okay? And how is it being used? And how it's affecting me and you? See, we might not know how it's affecting us. And I'm giving you an example on how it's affecting us. It's invisible, but I'm making it a reality so that you can understand and use your own brains to see if I'm talking in any sense. We, the taxpayers, are wasting the treasury money. That's why NIB in the position it is now, they're saying in a few years it would crash. Because many of our government officials over the years have used NIB for their, their loan office. They would use national insurance. This is the money that me and you, us, Bahamian people, self-employed or employees, pay our national insurance. Thousands and thousands and thousands of Bahamian And then we're looking at after we do our 30 years of service or 40 years of service, we get some gratitude back from National Insurance so that when I reach a certain age, me putting in National Insurance can take care of me for the rest of my days because I have contributed over 50 to 60 or probably over $100,000 or $200,000 paying my National Insurance over the previous jobs I've been working for the last 30, 40 years in this country, right? But we are seeing that funds are being rerouted to different departments. So Prime Minister's coming in, they're seeing the amount of money in National Insurance, and they're going there, and they're rerouting money out of National Insurance, what's supposed to be for the Bahamian people. When I mess up my finger, or I hurt my leg, or my family member died, or I died, I need to be buried, I've contributed to National Insurance. So there should be a problem for my family or friends or whoever my guardian is to go by National Insurance and claim what I've put in. Now we're seeing where they're saying they're overpaid. Many of persons who come in to claim their National Insurance. And like I said, government has been rerouting money from National Insurance to pay other debts and other government departments. And that is a no-no. National Insurance is supposed to be one of the... National Insurance is supposed to be having billions in it, as far as I can say, billions of dollars. And it should never, we should never have to hear where they're saying that National Insurance, if we don't do the right thing, that it will collapse. Now, when we're hearing that, it tells you about high-end directors, high-end this, that, all these in these different departments, and then they're getting paid for being director of National Insurance, then they're getting fired because the next government coming, then we hire next one when the next one coming. So we're paying, and we don't understand that this is coming right back to us. All of us who pay our water out of tax in the city market, all of us pay our driver's license, who pay our insurance, who pay our water bill, all this comes back to us. Okay? So why is we pulling for PLP and FNM? That's why us are struggling. Because when we go in the shop, we buy a candy, we buy a soda, that money goes into the treasury, goes to the water out of tax, and this goes to bid. These new appointment of commissioner of police, prison superintendent, etc. I can see the phone lines lighting up, but the producer's still out, so I hope you could get back in, the producer could get back in studios in a minute or two. Okay, let me see what I get you. I think I got something else. And last but not least, National Insurance is a disaster. They tell you around the COVID-19, they're still charging people who have a business license or self-employed. But many people didn't send a letter to National Insurance to say that they were not working within a two-year period. But National Insurance is still selling these people a bill. Now, when the former Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of Arms, he shut down the country and he stopped a lot of people from being employed. Many people were frustrated and they didn't even remember to report to National Insurance or send a letter to National Insurance that they're not working. So National Insurance, even though these people were not working, they were self-employed and they still had to pay the NIB, but people were working, people were preoccupied, and you couldn't travel if you want to travel. So there's an excuse. Now they're telling you that if you did not send in a letter within the 2 years, you owe National Insurance. Come on, man. National Insurance is supposed to call me on my phone and advise me and give me updates. They don't do none of these things until the last minute. So for National Insurance, I think the administrative staff is not doing a great job. Their clientele and how they interact with their clients and taxpayers, I give it a 3. Because what the Bahamian taxpayers got to go through, the National Insurance is hell. We are being robbed from National Insurance. Okay? We are being robbed. We're hearing where they're saying National Insurance is actually with collapse. But for us as Bahamian people who work every week, we pay our National Insurance, we get treated badly by National Insurance. I'm talking about all of us who are part of National Insurance, we get treated badly. There's so much turning around. Like I said, 2 years, now they're telling you you get a bill from National Insurance because I sent in a letter. Well, did you consider that the former Prime Minister, who is the Prime Minister of the country, he closed down the country, okay? So if he closed down the country, how me, who ain't unemployed, right? Around that 2-year period, Harbor Belt National Insurance. Did you ever even call me on my phone and give me updates? Say, Mr. Brown, you're not paid your self-employment payment for 6 months. What seems to be the problem? How can I help you? And I say, Mom, the problem is I'm not working. The Prime Minister locked down the country, eh? And I can't pay my self-employed national insurance. Could you please help me and writing a letter to you in your department that I will not be able to pay this until I can find employment? That's what you do. You can't just be adding on bill to people and the people ain't working, and you're telling me now that I get a bill because I sent a letter to national insurance and use my my inspector. You're supposed to call me. You're supposed to call me and check up on me if I'm not paying and find out what the reason why, and me supposed to be in direct contact with one another. We're not doing none of these things. Now I get a bill. I just get a bill for 2 years. I just pay off $1,200 by national insurance the other day for a settlement I had in court. That's me. I just paid off my last. I had $3,800 and I just paid off, right, the national insurance because I had a bag bill from them. I wasn't working in the last 2 years, so I put in my payment. Now I pay off my $1,200 to get rid of my court case. Now when I go by national insurance, a woman tell me, say, son, despite you paying this, she say, you have a bill for 2 years. I say, hold on, miss, how I can have a bill for 2 years when that was the COVID-19 period? I just come here, bring this $1,200. I just pay off in the space of a year and a half, $3,800. I just give you the 12 to bring the $3,800. Now you're telling me I have to come up with payment for 2 years? These people must be crazy. Look like I got to put national insurance in court. It's crazy. It's crazy, man. National insurance doing us bad. I like for the government and the Obama to really look into this matter. We're supposed to be getting updates. Okay? We shouldn't have to go through all the hassle. National insurance is supposed to call me on my phone if I contributing. And even if I ain't contributing on the time, you're supposed to advise me. You just can't add bill on people who ain't working. And then when we go there, we're trying to get our TLC to try find some other employment. Now we get a bill there. Now you're telling us we have to have the TLC. In order to get a TLC, you got to get that TLC helps you get your business license. You can't get your business license unless you get your TLC. And if you have a bog bill in national insurance, they're not going to give you a TLC. Come on, man. It's crazy. This is national insurance not helping the Bahamian people the way it's supposed to be for the Bahamian people. The government has used national insurance as their own piggyback to do whatever they want to do. Let's take this last call. Go ahead, caller. Sorry for taking so long. Go ahead.
Sorry. But golly, this is just talking away. We need justice, law, and order in this country, Scooch. Scooch.
Hey.
It shows you what has happened with the Consolidated Fund.
Oh, yes, yes, sir.
Not only that, all of those entities, what controls the money, it shows you what's happening. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
These people got the Bahamian people. Better wake up. Anyhow, thank you.
Thank you, Raymond. I got a lot of calls. Good evening. I got a call from Ms. Johnson. She said we got to re-ramp national insurance and throw those crooks out. Yes, I believe national insurance right now is a liability to the Bahamian people. All right? Kenya Ramins. I see her, Kenya. You know, it's a disgrace for what the Bahamian people got to go through. I've been hearing it. I just pay under. I tell you, I just pay off $3,800. And my last money, I had $1,200 3 weeks ago. I doing a little job. And I go and I say, you know what, let me pay my $1,200 off. Hoping to get my TLC so I can get my business license so I can start my landscaping business again. Because, you know, I'm cleaning up Lewis Creek. So I just want to try, see if I can get one, 3-4 other guys. Add on to it, but I have someone who want to assist me, but they tell me I need to get my business license up. Now, I didn't do business for 2 years. Now, they tell me, man, that's crazy. Yes, Kenya. It's crazy, you know. Consolidated funds and all this, it's crazy. You know, national insurance has to be revamped. You know, Ms. Johnson just said that this now. There are thousands of people right now having problems with national insurance right now. They can't get their death money for people who pass away, or they can't get their national insurance payment, you know, or they're not getting updates on their contribution status on what's the next step, you know. Come on, man. That national insurance board's supposed to be 21st century. It ain't acting like a 21st century. It acting like, you know, it's like an insurance company now, you know. But this is a swindling insurance company, you know, because when you go there and you people working on these jobs, and when you look, they've been there 5, 10 years, and they was paying their national insurance, so they taught on the job. But come to find out when they get fired and they go to ask for their payment from national insurance, their employer was not paying their national insurance. And when these people go to make their complaint to national insurance, and if there's a settlement, it's way beyond what they expect to get because the employer went to national insurance, pay something off behind the door to accommodate he or she to make a little better agreement and don't press charges against the employer. And the employee gets less than what is expected of he or she, and they have been working on the job 20 years and paying their national insurance, and come to find out the company's not paying their national insurance. Come on, man. It's crazy. This ain't right. This ain't right. And like I say, the government of the Bahamas has their hands full. I don't know how we're going to be able to manage. The Bahamas is a small country, but it's very large. And all I can say is, we just got to keep on talking about the issues, solving some of the issues. And right now, national insurance is some of the issues, okay? Paying essential workers for retirement based on a party doesn't like you and put you on retirement or put you on vacation and still paying you, and then you win your settlement. And now the government of the Bahamas is going to give you a settlement agreement. All this is hurting the Bahamian people. All this. All right? It's hurting Kenya. It's hurting Miss Johnson. It's hurting Valentino Brown. It's hurting the kids. It's hurting everyone. And you know who's getting rich? The people who are part of the party. Commissioner Clayton Fernando. He's a millionaire now. I mean, he did his service over the course of his tenure as commissioner. I mean, as getting up the rank to commissioner, he earned his paycheck. But now with the settlement agreement, he probably ended up with 1 or 2 more million, right? And then if you look at Leslie Miller, he's sitting on 9 million settlement. If you look at the people from BPL, the lady from BPL, she is looking at the settlement agreement. You wonder where all the money is going. You wonder why it ain't so tough for me and you, who live in the inner city or in the middle class. Huh? That's where the money going. It's going between people who are appointed by the party and they're in major position of directors in different departments or wherever it is with a high paying salary, right? And then they get a kickback, and we call double dipping. Some of them getting triple dipping, and it's costing me and you. That's one us to know that here. And we have to read between the lines. Look at the invisible stuff, right? Because now it's a secret stuff. And and anyone listening, anything I speak of on the show comes to reality. I talked about this last week, and then we look at the Nassau Guardian. Dorset comes and says, you know, that the hierarchy in the political party is the one who pushed the Royal Bahamas Police Force to apprehend him and put him before the courts. So what I say is true. I might not have the evidence, but eventually what comes out in the dark comes out in the light. And Dorset verifies that, what I've been saying all along. All right? So that's all the millions. And again, let me remind you, how much millions combined together with Dorset, Commissioner of Police, Deputy Commissioner of Police, Leslie Miller, the BPL staff, Frank Smith, Shane Gibson, and et cetera. Add all that up together. So if you're a PLP, you are tuned up. So if you're F&M, you add it up. And then me and you ain't nobody, I had to split. And see how much money we're going to pay to these individuals who are all Bahamians. So when we're knocking on the white man, and we're saying the white man caused this, the white man caused that, listen, leave the white man alone. The white money have nothing to do with us double dipping, triple dipping the Bahamian taxpayers' money to go in Bahamians on who are part of political parties and appointed by political parties. Huh? White money has nothing to do with this. This is all us. And we are destroying one another in the country because if we look at it, we are making a lot of Bahamians rich. Yeah, the hierarchy. We are making Clayton Fernando rich. We are making Dorset rich because the last government wasn't making no sense. Because they put all these people before the court and put these guys on leave. Come to find the guys in all their case. So they invested millions in persecuting. You can imagine the government spent about $5 million persecuting all those individuals or fighting these matters. Only to lose all the cases. And now we're going to have to pay Dorset, Frank Smith, Shane Gibson, the BPL lady, Leslie Miller, and gain $9 million. Huh? It's crazy. Y'all understand what they're trying to say to you, Bahamian people out there? It's us who paying the price. Y'all understand what they're saying to y'all? Y'all might not look at it like this, but that's how I look at it. And I add it up. And this is the corruption at the fullest. And yeah, we want Clayton Fernando to be Commissioner of Police. We want Dorset to be a good member of Parliament. But at the end of the day, sometimes party decision causes the Bahamian taxpayers millions of dollars. Only if they deal with integrity and not to go after these guys. Now, I ain't saying they're supposed to go after them. They did something illegal. But I'm saying if you go after these guys, you got to have the evidence. All right? And you got to make sure that you can get a conviction. The FBI in the United States of America, they don't go at you because they catch you with a gun. Before you get a gun, they don't study you, they don't film you, they don't get evidence. So when they present themselves to the Supreme Court, there's enough evidence there to convict you. So they have a 90% chance of convicting you. So then they're not going to waste the American taxpayers' money because they know that it's hurting the economy if you go at these guys and then they sue and they lose the case. So all the millions they spend on analyzing and what you call it, DNA testing, all of us on the taxpayers. We can take this last call. Call, you have to make it real quick. This is the last call for tonight. Go ahead, caller. Might get one more in real quick. So if you can make it quick. Go ahead.
Yeah, Scrooge, man. How you doing, Sparky?
Hey, Spark.
Yeah, but Scrooge, you know, you took so long with your deliberation. I was here about the last 15 minutes waiting for you to say hello. now you take all that time talking. Now you tell me I got 15 seconds.
Yeah, you know why? Because I talk on something that's very important.
But you know, I have...
That's not me. That's not me. You're trying to say, well, I take so long to do the deliberation. This is something important. If no one's going to talk about these things and add these things up, this is me adding up and showing you the problem we face in the country between the political parties and the political appointees, how it's affecting us as citizens, how it's affecting national insurance. All this year, it's affecting us. So this is a very positive and educational show. You're coming from somebody who come up with his own strategy. So I ask the Lord for knowledge, wisdom, and understanding and bravery so I'd be able to stand up for what's right. Okay? All right. I think we had 5 more minutes. And Spark is not me who cut you. It's the producer. You know, we're completely out of time. Kenya, I see you. And Kenya, we're in trouble in this country. All right? We're giving them millions of aid to Bahamians. Yes, they deserve it. But if we're going to waste the Bahamian taxpayers just because we can, because we don't like somebody, because I'm the prime minister, or I'm the minister of national security, and then to go at these guys, you're costing us. So the F&M, Free National Movement government, has cost the Bahamian taxpayers millions and millions and millions of dollars in the payouts, poisons who they went after. And these people win all their cases. Now, we, the Bahamian taxpayers, our funds is going to be routed from the taxpayers, the wallet of tax, to go pay these secret settlements. Let's take this last call. Let me see if we get it. Take the last call.
Yeah, Scusi.
Hey, go ahead.
Yeah, because I call in to make it in, but you know, I appreciate this show so much, right? But the thing is, and you're so real, and it is what it is, right? But me and you know, like back in the days, sometimes you would get locked up, and then they would let you go and say, boy, you don't think you're innocent. So it's the same thing, you know, everybody innocent, right?
Yes.
Everybody's innocent, but what I want to highlight, because you bring this to mind and listening to you, right? What comes to surface to me is that me and you know the amount of ghetto youth that was injured by the police and even by the legal system, right? And just, I don't know, ghetto youth brutalized.
Yes.
Disabled.
Yes.
They haven't been compensated because they don't have the resources, because they only suffered a loss. It's the same thing with me. I was put before Ivy Parade, pointed out, was innocent, I had to get my family members to say this. But, you know, I wouldn't even want to say what it was.
Yes,
I don't want to talk about nothing glorious, but what I'm saying is, this is a slap in our faces and everybody else. You know, like, man, so many things that happened to me, man. I had so much things I could sue them for. That's what I'm saying. It's only the status quo.
Yes.
See what I'm saying? There's no resources for you to even counter sue them. When you go to the complaint unit, everything goes into oblivion. So they control in the paradigm.
Yeah.
Them.
Yes. But as you can see, Ali, I didn't even get him to start up on the phone so you could cut the line. Yeah. But as you can see, you know, when someone get injured in the police custody, and et cetera, you say there's no funds there, right? But look where the funds are. They're going to pay Dorset. They're going to pay Clayton Fernando. They're going to pay Leslie Miller, $9.7 million. All this on the bugle, the ignorance of our former administration. All right? That administration causing the Bahamian taxpayers to pay millions and million dollars out to Bahamians, right? Either illegally or targeted because of political affiliation and put on, what do you call it, sick leave or whatever the situation is. And if you don't stop that, it's going to continue to destroy the country. And we can take that money and be investing on programs that are very beneficial to deal with this crime issue in our country. Because crime is the number one issue in our country. Crime leads to basically abuse, rape, murder, attempted murder, fighting. We have the justice system right now. Talking to the former chief justice the other day, they are backlogs for years. All right? Backlog for years. Reason why? There ain't not enough judges, and they need a new state-of-the-art court complex in the range of $120 to $150 million to be made to deal with all of these backlogs of cases that are before the court. This is because there are so many young persons out there who are committing crime that we overwhelm the justice system. There are not enough judges. There's not enough time frame to prosecute all these cases because there are so many cases before the court. And all this is happening because we are not investing properly in education, properly in developing the community, properly in scholarship. And all of this now is building up on us as a country. Yep. What comes from the top affects us to the bottom. What comes from the bottom affects us to the top, because now what to the bottom? You know what to the bottom? Bottom is poverty and crime, and that affects all of us now. So when we are to the top and not investing the way we're supposed to invest in our children, in our community, in our churches, in our houses, eh? We're going to be up and down, up and down, up and down. And let me give you this last analysis. I can guarantee you that the money we're going to pay out to Frank Smith, to Dorset, to Leslie Miller, to the BAPL staff, add that up, right? And I can tell you that'll be more than what we're going to give out to social services this year. The money we're going to pay these individuals and all
entitled to this money, okay? Because they serve in government. They settle their lawsuit, okay? But if you add up what they're going to get combined together from the Treasury, which is us, the taxpayers, it's more than I think going to be what we contribute to social service out the budget that the Davis administration a month ago was explaining to the general public. So we're going to pay, we're going to settle these agreements. And when it comes to thousands of kids, this settlement here, without due the budget for social service. So we have here about 15 individuals that are won or settled their settlement with government. 15 or 20 of them would get a payment that is equivalent to thousands and thousands of kids in this country. The budget they give for social service will be nowhere close to what they're going to pay to these 15 BMN individuals, which is the bunglings, negligence, and stupid decision of prosecuting these gentlemen when we knew we couldn't get a conviction and waste the BMN taxpayers. Not once, but twice. Now you're going to have to reimburse for damages, alleges, like $4.16 million in losses to Ken Dorsett. So I hope everyone understand where I'm coming from. You know, I don't speak the best English. You know, I'm highly educated, but I speak broken English. I am a Bahamian, all right? But I am very intelligent, and I'm sure those who are listening understand exactly where I'm coming from. Okay? All right. And I think we are completely out of time. So I want to say goodnight to everyone who listens to Inside the Inner City. I want you to drive safe. Be careful. Watch your surroundings. Stay out of arguments. And always make planning on how you're going to better your life. Okay? If there's a business that you like to go into, male or female, push for it. If there's something that you're good at, technology, you're good with your hands, use it to your best ability to make yourself a person who could have a regular income coming in this country. Because if you don't have a regular income, if you're just working and you don't have a regular income in this country, it's going to be very hard for you and your children. Create generational wealth, okay? Because that is the way out for us. So think of strategy. Think of ways you could better your life and better your family life. All right? And be mindful that government is going to be government. Brave is a good prime minister. He's going to do some great things. But he's all over them. You, as a citizen, go out there. Use your brain. Use your hand. And make something happen for yourself. All right? So I want to say, on behalf of Guardian Radio 96.9, I hope you enjoy the show. And I'll see you next week on Guardian Radio. And to all those who are listening and watching on Facebook, I'll see you next week. And I see Aaron. Aaron, bless up, brother. Thanks for tuning in. And I want to say to everyone, have a wonderful night and be safe. And we'll see you next week on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm your host, Valentin O'Brien, signing out.
Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Bitan, bro. Boy, I from Bitan, bro. Bro, bro.
Ah, my son, that boy, what happened? Huh? Shredded the Bitan, right from Bitan. Why you doing the Bitan? Oh, look. Again?
I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas. Big up Bintan, bro. Boy, I from Bintan, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire,